welcome to Al Berman Live from a studio apartment in North Hollywood, California. This is episode 38, and the call of the flute is calling. All my podcast worshipers, come, worshipers, time to worship the podcast. It's time to worship the podcast. Are you ready to podcast? I know, I had to do that. Are you ready to podcast? I don't know why. Oh my goodness, it is hot here in Southern California, in the San Fernando Valley. Last time I checked was just a few minutes ago, 99 degrees. Did you hear what I said? 99 degrees. And I've shut the air conditioner off. I just don't trust this air conditioner. It's too darn loud. It's a wall unit, and it cools the place off nice. And, you know, and quite frankly, I've been, hold on, I got to rub my nose here. I've been running the air conditioner 24/7 pretty much for the last few days. And, you know, you need a break from the air conditioning. It gets kind of cold and it gets kind of, the sinuses start going, hey, what's going on here? What's going on? We're feeling some coldness. Sinuses sound like old Jews. I'm going to, it takes about what, less than half an hour to tape to record this thing. So I can deal with this. I can deal with a half an hour. I'm going to brave it, man. I'm going to be a hero. I'm going into battle, podcast battle, without any air conditioning in 99 degree heat. Okay? Don't say that I'm not a man. I'm quite a man. I'm a manly man. Oh, one thing about this heat is that, boy, it puts you in such a bad mood. It puts people in a bad, just, if I just go out for a little bit, I'm just like, ugh, I'm in a bad mood. I'm in a bad, hot mood. Not in a hot, in a sexy way, in a bad, not in a bad, hot, sexy way, but in a bad, ugly way. If it was a bad, hot, sexy way, it'd be kind of nice. Everybody'd be having, you know, kind of having some fun on the streets. But, oh, man. And one thing is that it's so funny how people look for any... I appreciate the optimism. And some people like to go, boy, it's, you know, it's cooled off a little bit. And you look, it's like 97 degrees, two degrees cooler. Go, yeah, it sure is. It's almost Arctic. It's almost Arctic at this point. But that's, you know, that's optimism. And I could use some more of that in my life, okay? I feel that I come from a very pessimistic, you know, my DNA, my people who fled from Europe. And before that, they fled from somewhere else. They fled from Pharaoh. We're always fleeing. And speaking of fleas, see how I tie this in. I wasn't really planning it, but it worked. I was walking from the parking lot to my building the other day, and this kind of flea it wasn't a flea, but it was kind of, maybe it was a gnat. I don't know what the difference is between a gnat and a flea, you know. This kind of gnat-like, flea-like bug was, as I'm walking, it just kept getting in my face. It just like, and I would swat it away, and it would just come back, and it was just like, I was like, what are you doing? Or is it, first of all, is it taunting me? You know, is it just taunting me and saying, hey, come on, man, come on, you want a piece of this? Or is it like a suicide thing? Like, come on, man. Look at me, man. I'm a gnat. I'm a flea. I don't even know what I am. Look how I got to live on the street, man. I got nothing. I got nothing. Look at me. Swap me, man. Don't just fake swap me away. Swap me good. Swap me to the ground. And then I thought maybe it just was trying to attach itself to me to get out of this heat and get into the air conditioning. And I don't know, because I didn't invite the gnat. Flee in. Not flee. Okay. So anyway. You know, in about less than 5 weeks, I will be going in for my first hip surgery. And I don't mean that in the hipster sort of way. And so I'm doing some preparation for it. I have to just, you know, several steps. One of them is I had to schedule a physical, which I went and called the doctor's office and an internist, and I spoke to their receptionist, and I scheduled a physical. And so my understanding from the literature I received from the hospital saying that, you know, like, you know, a couple weeks before the actually, I got it from my doctor, I should, my orthopedic doctor. A couple weeks before the surgery, there's certain things you have to stop taking, vitamins and any ibuprofen and things of that nature. And so I was just kind of reiterating that with the girl. I go, I understand, you know, I'm not supposed to take these things. And she goes, that's true. And I go, what about acetaminophen? And she goes, what's that? Oh, man, that doesn't give you a lot of confidence, you know, when the receptionist of the internist doesn't know what acetaminophen. I go, well, no, it's like it's the Tylenol. It's Tylenol. You know, it's you never heard of acetaminophen? No, I never heard of it. So that was a little disconcerting. But I'm going to check with a nurse that I've got a card from. And before I'm going to check with her. I think it's going to be okay. I think you can take some acetaminophen. Acetaminophen. Maybe I said it too fast. Acetaminophen. Acetaminophen. Sounds like a hip-hop thing. Acetaminophen. I want to go to the inn. I want to be within. I don't know. All right, forget that. Forget that. And then I get a call from a friend of mine who's telling me about a friend of his in New York that's had one hip done and was getting the other one done this week. And my friend, first he called my landline and left me a message, a detailed message about his friend, and gave me his friend's phone number in case I want to call and ask him, which is very nice. And then he immediately called my cell and left the same exact message. Overkill? I think so. But he means well. He's a good friend. And I can't think of anything that funny to say about it. So I'm going to move on. Okay? I'm going to move on. The other day I was talking to Janet. Janet, who is the female half of the management team that runs the building here. Aaron and Janet. And you know, we're looking at the garden, the garden and the different things that are blooming. It looks like there's going to be a lot of bushes at some point today. It's going to take a while for these bushes to grow. But anyway, she there was a plant. There's like a plant growing straight up. And I go, what's that? And she goes, I don't know. And she touched it. And then she smelled her hand. And it was lemon. And it's in the exact same spot as where the lemon tree was, that the owners went and cut down without even informing anybody. Just one day they came in and had it cut down. They didn't. That wasn't part of the deal that they made with us, that, you know, take the lemon tree out. But the lemon tree, I don't think they took it all the way out. I think the lemon tree is coming back. I mean, it's going to take years for it to be a bona fide lemon tree. But it's just, you know, it's growing, and man, and it's like, it's coming up. You know, it's already about, I don't know, 8 inches tall. And it's just like, all right, man, we got to keep it a secret. We don't want anybody to take you out again. And so we got to keep this on the down low. Lemon tree is coming back because it can't keep a good tree down, okay? It was just, you know, I got excited because, you know, people love that lemon tree in this building. They would get the lemons off it and utilize the lemons. And plus, it had a nice fragrance, a nice smell. Plus, it also, for me, was near my door, so it blocked the morning sun from coming, you know, that would burn into my door through my apartment, because this building is not insulated, so it gets when it's hot, it retains the heat. When it's cold, retains the cold. Because, you know, when you're building cheap buildings, you know, that's how you do it. You build it cheap. You keep it cheap. You call it, you know what you call it? You should call the place the cheap place. No, it's a nice place. I shouldn't, I don't mean to diss the place. I like the place. But, you know, it is on the cheap. But it is nice. It's nice. Maybe they can call it nice and cheap. Yeah, they can call it nice and cheap. Like you heard of the supermarket Fresh and Easy? You got a bunch of apartment buildings. Nice and cheap. Yeah, it's nice, but it's cheap. Especially in this economy. You need a building that's nice and cheap. Oh, wow. Okay, just moving right along. I went to my go-to supermarket. I go there a lot, right? And, you know, it's been hot and people are in a weird mood. And two times this week when I was checking out, I was at the checkout stand, I was next in line, the person in front of me whipped out a checkbook and wrote a check. And one of those people accidentally put the wrong total down because they thought that the cashier was finished and had to rip that check out and start all over again. And it's just like, are you kidding me? Not only do they write the check and they take a long time and they have to sign it and then they deduct it from their thing there, but then they have to, the check, then they got to get the manager to come over and the manager has to look at the check and then approve it. I don't really know what they're doing. Because it's not like they're calling in any numbers. Every time I see the manager look at the check, I mean, it's just like they're looking at a piece of paper that said looks like a check. I mean, how do they know it's? I mean, unless they can trust the people, I don't know. Unless they know the people who are using the checks. But it's just like I'm thinking, are you kidding me? 2012, 2012. We're halfway through the year. Checks. I guess, you know, if you want to float, if you just don't want your money, like, you know, if you take a debit card, which is essentially a check in a card, the money's going to come out of your account pretty quickly, although it's always pending for like a day or two anyway. So it's just like, I don't know, I guess a check takes longer, but man, after about two times, and then I was at the library, this happened at the library, and the person in front of me, they had a fine, and then they wrote a check. And I was like, oh, man, are you kidding me? But then I realized that the library has, they have no other options. They don't have a debit card system, so if they have no cash, you got to write a check. You got to write a darn check. So then I'm, you know, I'm going through the store this one day. And, you know, I like little kids, you know, other people's kids. I like to play, you know, like make faces at them and play, you know, play from a distance. I mean, unless I know the people, you know, well, I'm not going to touch the kid physically, but you know, when I'm in a store and I see a little kid and especially if the kid's staring at me, I mean, if, I don't go out of my way to get the kid's attention, but so what I'm saying is I enjoy, you know, entertaining these little kids. And so there was this little kid, and he was in a cart, and he was sitting in a cart, and he was just staring at me. So I did the classic double take where you turn your head slowly, and then you turn your head once, and then you turn your head back slowly. Is that how you do it? I've got to do it now. Wait. No, you do it. You turn your head, and then you turn your head back fast. Whew. I know it's not visual. Not a visual podcast, but I had to remember. Anyway, it's the classic comedy double take that all the goes back, you know, generations of comedy, never fails to get a laugh, and this kid starts giggling, right? And so I'm making faces at him, smiling, and he's giggling. And his dad was like, not too far, you know, not too far from him, but he was doing something. And then his dad came back, and then he looked at me. I go, hey, I'm just entertaining your kid a little bit. And he goes, oh, okay, you know. And the thing is, you know, you get so paranoid because with all the publicity, with all the child predator stuff and everything, You know, and I'm sure it's a way small percentage of the population, but, you know, it's out there now. They make it seem like every adult is a possible predator. And so it makes me paranoid to, you know, I don't even want to deal with these kids. But, you know, if a kid's staring at you and you want to just make their day a little happier. And so he was cool, the guy. But, you know, but there was still this little hint of, all right, you know. So then, you know, I say, okay, cool. And I start, I go on my way. And I start shopping more. I'm, you know, it was already at the beginning of my shopping, and I'm shopping more. And as I'm shopping, I go to different parts of the store, and I keep running into this kid and his dad. You know, and it's like, oh, hey, you again. Like, you know, I mean, I'm not following them. I'm like going, oh, next thing I know, I turn around, there they are. And, you know, at one point, the kid was giving me, like, the thumbs up, and I go, oh, wow, look, what's he doing? He goes, the father goes, oh, he's giving you the thumbs up. And I was like, okay, good, because, you know, I'm getting paranoid. I said, if I run into you guys anymore, I'm gonna give you the middle finger up. No, just kidding. I, you know, it's just weird when you keep running into somebody, and you're definitely not even aware of it. You're just... And it's just, and the thing is, we're in a produce department, and this guy kept like circling around me, like it's like, you know, I'd be like by the apples or whatever, and then he'd be there, and then he'd go down by the peppers, and I would go a couple feet from the apples, and he'd be back, and I'd be like, dude, are you is this a setup? You know, because this is some kind of setup, man. Don't try to mess with me. Don't mess with me, man. Don't mess with me. Oh. And then I saw, one of the managers who's been very encouraging to me regarding my weight loss, he comes over and he's got this YouTube video of me doing stand-up when I was at least 100 pounds heavier. And he goes, dude, oh my God. He goes, look at you. Look how great you're doing. And I go, thank you so much. He goes, it's at least 100 pounds, he's saying. You know, because I was too afraid to weigh myself when I first started to lose weight. And so so he calls over one of the employees. And it's this woman who is very masculine looking. She's very slender. She's Asian. You know, she looks to me like she really wants to be a man. And God love her. I hope she gets her dream or whatever. I hope she's living her dream. I hope she's happy. She seems like a nice person. I see her. You know, I always say hi to her. And so he calls her over to show her, like, oh, look at how much weight this guy has lost. Which is weird because I don't really know her. Why, you know, this is kind of like an intimate thing. And so she comes over and he goes, guess, what do you think? How much does he think he lost? And she looks at the phone and then she looks at me and she looks at the phone, looks at me. And she goes, I don't know. She goes, 30 pounds? I go, 30 pounds? Boy, is this woman off? And just like, so it's just like, okay, thank you very much. And then she goes back to work. And then I keep going shopping. I keep shopping. And I run into the guy later. And I go, 30 pounds? What is she out of her mind? He goes, you know what? I talked to her. And she says, you know what? She goes, I don't know. I don't usually look at guys' bodies, so I don't know. Well, what is that supposed to mean? Is that because you have a sexual, you're sexually orientated or whatever, you have sexual proclivity? I don't know if I'm using the right words. Your sexual orientation is one way. You can't, like, you can only deduce weight because of who you're attracted to. That seemed pretty weird. That seemed really weird. That turned me off. That turned me off to her. I thought, like, wait a minute. Wait a minute. You're way off, Mr., whatever you are, whatever you want to be called. I don't know what you want to be called. You can do whatever. You could be called whatever you want to be called. Then I'm going down this one aisle where there's medicines, and I know there's, I needed to get some disposable razors. And this one, a Filipino guy works there. And I said to him, you know, the razors are down here, right? Where are the razors down here? He goes, razors? Check stand. I don't know if that's a good Filipino accent. Razors, check stand. I go, oh, they're by the check stand? He goes, yes. And I go, oh, okay, I thought they were here. And I literally take like 2, 3, 4 steps, and there they are. And I go, "Hey, dude, the razors are right here." He goes, "Yes, but also check stand." And it's like, okay, but why are you telling me where the furthest place they are? Why aren't you just telling me they're over right here, 3 feet from your head? I mean, I don't understand. Why do you have to do that? Why did you have to be that way to me? And then I saw this neighbor of mine, this guy, Rocker John. Rocker John is, you know, I've talked about him before. I don't know if I've used his real name, but who cares? He's about mid-40s, very, very dedicated to the band Kiss and into, you know, Van Halen and bands like that. And so, you know, he's got real long hair, really long hair. And so, I don't know why I said that. It doesn't really have that much to do with the story, but I'll give you a little visual. And so he shops at the Go-To Market. As a matter of fact, he gets offended if I come back from Trader Joe's or Whole Foods, and he goes, "Oh, Trader, oh, look at you going to it," like he owns this Go-To Market. So I saw him in the parking lot when I was pulling in the other day, and his back was to me. And he was about maybe, I don't know, 20 feet in front of my car, 30 feet in front of my car. And I start honking the horn. You know, that's, you know, and he's not turning around. I go, you know, again, he's not turning around. I go, so I pull into a spot and I roll down the window. Hey, John. He turns around. I go, didn't you know, couldn't you tell that somebody was honking at you? He goes, "Yeah, I did, but it's so hot that I didn't want to turn around and get into an argument with somebody." I go, "Dude, I was going dent 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 dent. That's a friendly honk. Can't you discern a friendly honk from an unfriendly honk? Did you think that the honk that I was honking was going to lead to an argument? When was this? When did this ever lead? When did this dent 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 dent? When did that ever lead into an argument? When did anybody go like this? Din, 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 din. You talking to me? Yeah? Yeah, you want a piece of this? You want a piece of this?" So that's that. That's that. And lastly, but not leastly, I got a letter from the Ford Motor Company. I have a Ford Escape. 2004, bought it in 06, was pre-owned, which is the new politically correct term for used. But I got it from a car place that, you know, anyway, it's been a great car for me. So I've had it, 6 years? It was manufactured like 8 years ago, over 8 years ago. I got a letter from the Ford Motor Company telling me that there's a vehicle parts recall. They've discovered a part that needs to be recalled, and they tell me that they've discovered in some of these cars that if you press the accelerator down all the way to the floor, it could get stuck. And I was like, okay, that's great information to have. However, I have never come anywhere near stepping on the accelerator to the floor. I mean, if I'm driving on the freeway at 65 miles an hour, what am I doing? A quarter, a half of a pedal thing? So I've got to go. I've got to bring it in to a bona fide dealer. And I said, okay. Now, the thing is, the problem here, folks, is that the dealer that's as nearest me, about like 10 minutes from my house, is a place that tried to rip me off many years ago. And I just don't like this place. And what happened was I got a thing in the mail where they said, hey, come in for a free oil change. Something like that, a free oil change and a really cheap oil change and a free, you know, 15-point inspection. And I did that, and I came in, and boy, did they find things wrong with that car. I go, oh, man, he goes, you got a problem. We got problems here. He goes, it's going to cost $500. You know, we got to do this, we got to do that, we got to do this. And, you know, let me see if I can, we'll keep it here overnight and work on it tomorrow. Let me see if I can get you a free rental car. You know, he walks out the door, big, you know, big farce, because they got a rental car place right on the premises for this kind of thing. And then he comes back. He'll go, yeah, yeah, I can get you a free rental car. And I go, that's great. Well, I happen to have my own personal mechanic, which I do. This English guy named Stave. Stave is the most honest car mechanic I've ever met. I mean, that guy, if he makes a mistake, he actually owns up to it and deducts his pay. I've never heard about this. I wouldn't do that. But anyway, so I bring it to Stave, and Steve tells me that there was something wrong, but it was wasn't what they said. It wasn't to the extent that they said, and only cost me $150. So I've already had that experience with this company. Okay, so I know, you know, I'm kind of wary of them. So I call up and to make an appointment. I get this woman on the phone, and I tell her about the recall. She goes, "Oh yeah, 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 okay, yeah, you can bring it in. I make an appointment for the next day." And she goes, "You know, it's not going to take that long. You know, you bring it in, it won't take that long." But in the letter, Ford said it could take a half a day or more, and blah blah blah. And it's just like, oh, whatever. So I go, okay. So the next day, it's really hot. I don't feel like going out. So I call up and I get this guy on the phone, and I said to him, "Listen, I had an appointment. I need to reschedule or come back, you know, or whatever, come back a different time." And he was like, "Okay." And then I said, he goes, "Well, bring it in the morning. You know, and bring it in the morning, and you can, you know, come back." And I go, "Well, I'm not a morning guy. I want to bring it in the afternoon." "Well, all right, bring it in the afternoon, and you can leave it overnight." I go, "I'm not leaving it overnight." And then he gets kind of irate. "Well, what do you want? I mean, if you bring it in, you know, we can't get to it. We might have to leave it." And I go, "Calm down, dude. I mean, the girl told me it wasn't going to take that long." And he goes, the girl answered the phone. "She's just the coordinator." "Oh, excuse me. She's just she's only the person that coordinates the actual, you know, coming and goings of the, you know, of the repairs. So why should she know what the heck she's talking about?" So I finally said, "Listen, how about this? I call up. I get the heads up. I give you the heads up. I say, hey, I'm 10 minutes away. Are you guys busy? Can I come in? And we'll do it that way." And he goes, "Okay, whatever." What does he care? He doesn't care. But I'm just like, I'm just dreading going there. It's just, I don't like the place. Like I said, I don't like the place. And I feel like they try to rip me off. And I don't like them. I just don't like them. Okay? Maybe I should learn to like them. Maybe I should learn to have compassion for them. Compassion for them. For the way they move in the world. They move in the world that way. That's how they move in the world. They rip people off, and then they move on to the next victim. All right. Okay, I think we've had enough. I think we've had enough here, folks. Anyway, again, thank you all for anybody who's listening to my podcast. Still haven't gotten an answer on this iTunes store thing. My friend Bill thinks he might have a clue, so he's going to come over tomorrow, and we're going to investigate this. So anyway, again, thanks so much, and until next time, this is Al Berman live from a studio apartment in North Hollywood, California.